This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day. Poor Russ, man. You ever just feel bad for Russell Wilson?
Not anymore.
The Giants are expected to start quarterback Jameis Winston. And everybody loves Jameis Winston. The world needs Jameis Winston, Mike. I'm all for it. Giants starting Jameis Winston. You're not a Jameis Winston fan, Mike. Why don't you like joy and happiness and entertainment and whimsy and delight?
I delight in his 36 interception season. Was it 36 or 33?
It was 30. I thought he threw 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions.
I think he threw three more.
That's the ride I'm talking about. Man, what a ride. How fun is that?
It wasn't fun for Tampa Bay fans.
That depends on who you ask.
But then they got Thomas Brady.
There were a lot of people that were kind of excited about potentially getting Jameis Winston before the Broncos drafted Bo Nix. Like, and I was kind of in on that. Oh, you do the little face thing, but if he was the quarterback for the Broncos, you'd be the first one in line buying the crab leg special, the Jameis Winston crab leg special. You'd be right there in the front row.
I mean, I would be rooting for him, but I apparently was the only person in the world who was like, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota should not be number one and number two. They're both not that great.
I wish you could. I wish Jameis Winston has something, but then it kind of
fades. So is Marcus Mariota.
Winston still has it. Winston could. It's like if you treated quarterbacks like pitchers, you could use Jameis Winston for like a game or two, and then bench him for a game or two, and then he'd come back a game or two later and be pretty good. He just can't do it the entire season. He's like a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. So Jameis Winston will get the start. Jackson Dart is in the concussion protocol, which shocks no one with how he plays. He jumps fellow veteran Russell Wilson, who was number two on the depth chart. Mike Kafka is the new head coach. Kafka, Mike. People say KFKA sometimes, and they say Kafka. It's funny to me. The NBA has issues, Michael. They have issues. They're trying to sort out this gambling thing. Are they? I don't know. I love, what is it, ESPN's Tim Bonteps? Is it Bonteps? Is that how you say it? The NBA announced its long-awaited plans to overhaul the All-Star game. Long-awaited? I wasn't waiting for this. I don't care. But
yeah, nobody cares about the All-Star.
They
be the three-point and the dunk.
They put out their plans to overhaul the All-Star game, laying out how the new United States once again versus the world format will go and how the teams will be formed. So they will be doing the United States versus the world. I'm intrigued. But it's still weird to me because there's not enough of world players to field a real all-star game or an all-star team. But they're going to go with a three-team format featuring eight-man rosters, two of which will be made up of American players, and a third of international selections. There are a couple of chances to how those players will be selected. Five starters and seven reserves from each conference, with a combination of fans, media, and players voting for the starters and coaches picking the reserves. I'm already confused. What? Stop it. So there's three teams with five starters and seven reserves. Mike, are we what are we doing here? I don't understand. So you're telling me we're gonna have 36 All-Stars? We're gonna have 36 All-Stars this year. Okay.
How many of them are coming from the NBA Cup championship team?
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Doesn't have anything to do with it.
But the NBA Cup is so important.
Also dumb.
Can you drink out of the NBA Cup?
There's not going to be any positional requirements. In the past, the starters have been made up of two backcourt players and three frontcourt players, with the reserves being made. There was a question of, like, what happens if those 24 players... All right, so it's going to be 24. Okay. I thought it was going to be three teams. Oh, I don't know. Whatever. It's already confusing. What happens if those 24 players do not evenly break down into 16 American and 8 international players? Or would the league force the voting to adhere to those numbers? If the player pool doesn't reflect that 16-8 split, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver will name extra players to the roster to get to the minimum 16 Americans or the minimum 8 international players. So if there are 14 Americans and 10 international players, Silver would name 2 more Americans to get to the 16-player minimum. And if it wasn't an 18-6 split, he would name 2 international players to get to the 8-player minimum. Adam Silver, I hate using this language. Adam Silver sucks. He is awful. Terrible commissioner. It's confusing. Mike, do you understand what's happening here? Does anybody get it?
Well, if there's not enough players to field this team, then we'll simply add 2, carry the 4, and then go over here.
It's the West. Don't screw it up. Just make your all-star. Don't even have an all-star game. Just select the all-stars, and you get the honor of doing it. Have a three-point competition. Have a dunk competition.
Make the celebrities play.
Have a dribbling competition. Have a one-on-one competition. I don't care. Have three-on-three. I don't know. But don't. The minute you start making this more complicated, at least the NFL was like, nobody likes the Pro Bowl. Nobody wants to get hurt. So just take the pads off, put some flags on them, okay?
Maybe the NBA should do that. Maybe they should play flag football.
I'm down, man. I'm down. No dribble basketball. Like they do it on trampolines.
Or they play dodgeball.
I don't care. At least the NFL knows what it is. Dude, Pro Bowl sucks. Nobody gets it. Just put flags on them. Let's play flag football. That way we get more players that want to do it, and they kind of have fun with it, and it's awesome, and we put the Mannings involved. We get the Mannings involved. Adam Silver's like, so if 14 Americans and 10 international players are there, I'll name 2 more Americans to get to the 16-player minimum. And if it was an 18-6 split, then I'm going to name 2 international players to get to the 8-player minimum. I don't know what to say with this guy. It's ridiculous. Faith says he's grasping at straws now just to keep the All-Star game relevant. Why do we need the All-Star game? It's got to make money. It has to make money, apparently, because they are pushing this thing hard. And the cup thing, I'm watching the cup, and I turn the screen on, it's the court. My wife's sitting next to me, she's like, gah, what is that? I'm like, well, it symbolizes when it's a cup game. She's like, what? What does that mean? Well, they have a in-season tournament to determine a champion. Oh, so it's the championship. No, it's the in-season tournament. They have a mini tournament to determine that champion. Oh, so do they get like automatic buy-in to the playoffs, or does that bode well for them for the actual NBA championship? No. They could actually lose the rest of their games the rest of the way. They would still have that championship. They would still have that if they just happen to play their best basketball in the allotted games that are chosen as cup games.
Well, just explain to her, it's like when the NFL and the NHL and Major League Baseball, oh wait, none of them do that. What is the NBA doing?
I don't know. You know, it's like college, okay? College basketball. They have a bunch of mini tournaments. Like, UNC is going to be in one of those, where they have 3 games in a row, and then it's like round robin. I don't know. The best percentage wins it. It's college. I think of it as games. I don't really think of it as much of anything. it's cool for colleges, though, because there's only one champ and there's 4 bazillion colleges. So to be able to have mini tournaments throughout a basketball year is kind of cool, but not in professional basketball. So like the UNC Bears, the odds of them getting to March Madness, they're tough because you have to win the tournament. You have to win your Big Sky tournament to get in. So giving them chances throughout the year to have to get trophies, to get banners, to just get something cool, I get that. Like, what is the CSU goes, like, the Paradise Jam or whatever? I don't really care about the tournament portion of it, but I like the fact that it's a chance to go somewhere different and you play games like back to back to back, and it's something to kind of break up the season. But it's not really, like, if they come out and say, oh, we won the tournament, I'm more looking at it going, no, you got 3 more wins. You got 3 more dubs to add to your resume. The NBA is 10 times worse than that. It's like, let's take a situation when teams aren't playing their best basketball, because they all want to play their best basketball later in the season, right? And let's make the first portion of the season so interesting and throw out a trophy for a winner here. So then you got that, and now you got Adam Silver constantly talking about the All-Star game. Not the fact that you got players that are getting arrested, former coaches that are getting arrested for gambling on and off the floor. No, let's just put a lot of focus into the All-Star game. Dixon said, Nobody even really wants to go to the All-Star game. They would rather have the time off. Right. They must be making a chunk of money, though. There must be a chunk of money there that they're getting that makes them want to keep this going. That goes for all the leagues. I'm just saying it, man. When Adam Silver first started, he handled the Donald Sterling thing really well. Former Clippers owner. That was a trying time in the NBA, and I thought Adam Silver handled it well, and I liked some of the things he was doing. But why is everything in the NBA so complicated? You have the apron thing with the contracts. You have the mid-season cup or in-season tournament cup, and we paint the floors. And now you have the All-Star game, and yeah. GoPoke says, that's Italian math, Brady, you understand. Dude, I'm a simple human, Mike. Are you good enough to be, are you the best point guard in the league? Great. You're an All-Star on whichever conference you're in. Are you the best point guard in your conference? Great. You're an All-Star. Same down the line. We get our starting five, we got some reserves, and you're all stars. Let's go. But we've, through the years, well, we're going to have captain's pick. We selected captains, and it's just like recess, and they're going to pick them, and it takes you back. That's why you're going to love it, because it takes you back. Only these guys are professional athletes that are making millions. Okay, that didn't work, because we're scrapping the whole conference versus conference thing. You want to make the All-Star games interesting? Stop screwing around. Here's what you do, Mike. Do what baseball did. They don't do it anymore, but do what they did. Whichever conference wins gets to host, they get home court advantage in the finals. You don't think the top tier players are going to be, that think they're going to be there late? If Joker's on an All-Star team, you don't think Nikola Jokic is going to play hard in that game, knowing, hey, we think we're a championship team. If the West wins, we get home court advantage. But I'm not even saying I'm for that idea 100%, Mike, but that is the only way to add any kind of venom to an All-Star game. Major League Baseball tried it, and it seemed unfair, and there was enough complaining about it. But that's it. Anything else, you're just wasting your time. And you just look silly. You look like a Mickey Mouse-ran organization. Faith says, the best part of All-Star Weekend used to be the slam dunk contest, and that is pretty much slumped. So let's just throw the whole weekend in the trash. Yeah, the dunk contest was cool, Mike, but how many more dunks can you possibly do? There's only so many combinations that you can do. Once a dude jumped over a front of a car, we kind of lost it. Once Rondo blew out a cupcake at the base of the rim, like, that was cool, but we can't do it anymore. There's only so many combos. There's only so many three-pointers I can watch. Don't overcomplicate it, though. That's what I will say. You want my advice, Adam Silver, which I know you're not asking? Stop overcomplicating it. Stop carrying the one.
Stop having it.
There's money there, Mike. There's money there. 12:19 the time. Cody Tucker going to join us, 7220sports.com. Wyoming Cowboys are back at it this weekend. How are we feeling about the Cowpokes the rest of the way through? You know, they're going up against a weird Fresno State team. The Cowboys, with three games remaining, can still get into a bowl game. Losing to San Diego State officially, pretty much officially, knocked them out of the running. Not that they could anyway, but of competing for a Mountain West championship this year. But they could still get to a bowl game. They're 4-5. They're one game better than they were last year. So there's still a lot of improvement there. Just got to win two out of the next three. Will that happen for the Cowboys? Let's talk to Cody. And also that basketball team. What's sticking out so far on the hoop side of things for Cody Tucker? It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Football weekend with Rocky Mountain College kickoff. Fridays at 2 and an encore Saturdays at 7. We are Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show. The Wyoming Cowboys return to action this weekend on the football side of things. They're at Fresno State. Three games remaining for them, and still a realistic shot that the Cowboys could become bowl eligible. Just got to win two out of the next three games. Cody Tucker joining us now from 7220sports.com. Well, Cody, how are we feeling about Wyoming? We didn't get to talk to you last week. Of course, we had the bye week. How are we feeling about this Cowboys team? It's kind of been an interesting season for the most part, an improved season, but interesting.
Yeah, you know, Brady, you're feeling really good about Wyoming's defense, per usual. That new look group that has, you know, 10 new starters basically on that side of the ball, they've been incredible, and they were incredible again. Once again in San Diego, they did plenty to lead the Cowboys to a win in that one. And San Diego State did plenty to keep the Cowboys in that game. They wouldn't take the opportunities. And, you know, the Cowboys, especially at the quarterback spot, Caden Anderson's just been turning the ball over way too much. And, that was the story in San Diego. Three first half turnovers, three first half interceptions, and then a fumble, inside Aztecs territory there to start the fourth, and Wyoming was in it the whole time. And you know, you always say it's easy to say, right, the bye week came at a perfect time. I think it did come at a really, really good time, because, you know, that was only Javon Bonite's second game calling plays for this team, and I think they needed a week to kind of regroup here, and they need to figure it out. I have a feeling Mr. Anderson is kind of on a choke chain here, Brady. Not even a leash. You know, 16 turnovers this year, and 14 of them belong to him. And to make matters even worse, Wyoming's defense has forced 13 turnovers, and they're a minus three on the season. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. Just look, you know, hearing you say, hey, they were in these games. It's the truth. A lot of these losses, you know, even the Colorado game, going back to that one, the Utah game, going back to that one, there were times where it's like, man, if they can just get some production offensively, they could pull this thing out. We've said that all season about Wyoming, which I guess is better than saying that they're just blown out and they're not competitive, but they have been in every game.
To a degree, but it makes it that much more frustrating. And, you know, you got to openly wonder, is this the year you're going to look back and go, damn it, should have won that game at Air Force. Man, if you don't give up two blocked punts for touchdowns, you beat UNLV, you know, you do anything on offense, which, don't get me wrong here, Brady, even though San Diego State just gave up, what, 38 in a weird loss in Hawaii last week, that defense is filthy good. But they gave you every opportunity in that game. Wyoming in the fourth quarter lined up with a first down at the San Diego State 19-yard line. False start, then a hold, then a run for minus two, then a fumble. They had every opportunity to get back in that game, and they just didn't take advantage. So, you know, if they don't get to bowl eligibility here, this is the year I'm afraid you're going to look back and go, man, the self-inflicted wounds of losing a game at Air Force that's unforgivable, losing to UNLV when you should have beat them in a hailstorm on your home field. And then, you know, San Diego's a tough place to play, and that's a really, really good defense, like I said. But that was also a winnable game, even more so than the ones you brought up with Utah and Colorado. However, the Cowboys were in both of those. They have had no consistency at the quarterback spot mainly, and really offensively across the board, which is insane. We talked before the season. Cowboys had, I believe, the fourth most returning production of any team in the FBS when it came to the offensive side of the ball. And now you're looking at it like, maybe that's not always a good thing.
Yeah. No, it's fascinating how a season could unravel in different ways. You mentioned Javon Bonite and what, you know, what he's meant so far. What do you see as the future for him, and like how, assuming he's ultimately going to take over as the official offensive coordinator, or is that not so?
Well, you know, you would think this is kind of an audition, right? You know, these last three games down the stretch, plus the two he's already called, you know, had some good success against Colorado State, and not so much against San Diego State. So got to make some hay here, starting with Fresno, come home for a Nevada team for the home finale, and then hit the road again to the islands to close it out. So, you know, he said last week he wants to be the full-time. He wants to be the full-time OC here. And, you know, part of me wonders, like, no matter what happens down the stretch, unless it's a complete debacle offensively, Jay Sovell loves what Javon Bonite brings to the table as far as commanding respect, and the guys love him, and he's doing all the right things. Sometimes it's just not translating on the field. And, you know, so you can say it's an audition of sorts, but really he's got everybody's full confidence anyway. I think in a way you could say it's a formality, but you just don't say it yet, because I mean, if the wheels completely come off here in the last three games, especially say worst case scenario, Armageddon happens and you lose at home to Nevada on Josh Allen jersey retirement day.
Yeah.
You know, that might even be a doom for the head coach, let alone the offensive coordinator. So,
yeah.
You know, they got some work to do here, though. It's not going to be easy. They have not been successful on the road, and they have got to win at least, you know, you'd like their chances maybe better at Fresno than you do it in Honolulu, but two really tough places that the Cowboys haven't had a lot of success.
Well, Fresno State's the most confusing, maybe yeah, the most confusing team in this conference,
yeah,
because,
yeah,
you know, they get blown out by CSU before they fire Jay Norvell. That was the game that maybe saved Jay Norvell one more week. And so they get blown out in that game. They get shut out by San Diego State, which is a good, like you said, a great defense. And then they destroy Boise State. So I have no idea what to expect from them this weekend.
I'm 100% with you. I'm writing about it as we speak. Their backup quarterback, Carson Conklin, in a 30-7 win inside Albertson Stadium, is 10 of 21 for 35 yards. Running the football wasn't a whole hell of a lot better. I mean, 47 attempts, 189 yards. Just, you know, obviously they knocked out Maddox Madsen, but man, you looking at this on its face, Brady, if you can shut down their running game and make them one dimensional and make them beat you through the air, that is more than winnable. But they are a really bizarre case. But like you said, you know, you could say that for most of the Mountain West. You can say that for what the hell is Wyoming doing losing at Air Force? You know, what is Hawaii doing losing to San Jose State? It's just, what is Colorado State doing beating Fresno State? It's been absolutely a bizarre year in the Mountain West, and I don't know what to make of it. There's no clear-cut favorite anymore, and the game between Boise and San Diego State, which is for first place this week, kind of lost some luster after both of those teams get waxed.
Yeah, no question about it. I have no idea what's going on in this conference. I really don't, but, you know, for Wyoming, they got a chance to kind of make this look like a pretty good season. I mean, they're 4-5. If they win these next three games, then you're talking about a lot of progress in Jay. Suddenly, the tune is completely changed about Jay Sovell and his leadership with the Cowboys.
Yeah, you know, I was posed a question yesterday our podcast that we do, the Roaring Repeater, and I'm trying to look for it here. But it was really, really a good question, I thought, is do you consider this a successful season? You know, it's obviously already one win better than it was last year, but it says here, you know, a crystal ball question. If Wyoming gets to bowl eligibility, will the season be looked at as a successful step up from last year's disappointment? Or does it seem like more of a disappointment considering most of the losses this year were very winnable? You know, right now you can say, oh, they already have one more win than they did last year, so it's definitely better. But is it? I mean, to me, that Air Force loss and the UNLV loss just are glaring. And to me, that if they don't fix something here down the stretch, which theoretically they could still win 8 games this year, if you don't win 7 or 8 games this year, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's a success or not, or if it's more of just, you know, what's the story of the 2025 Wyoming Cowboys losing to Air Force and UNLV when they shouldn't have.
Cody, full disclosure, for the, you know, between the teams that we follow here on the show, if Wyoming can win 6 games, it would be a massive success compared to what the garbage we've seen between CSU and obviously now UNC's starting to falter. Air Force confused. They're fun to watch, but they're confusing. And then the debacle down in Boulder. Wyoming's got a chance to come out of this looking like, you know, and again, it's the prettiest turd in the toilet bowl, but Wyoming could hold that honor.
Well, and unfortunately, Wyoming lost to Colorado and Air Force,
yeah.
And they had a real shot there to be Colorado State champs.
Yeah, no question.
Maybe I'm too close to stuff, and I'm into this too deep. Every
I'm just
life,
depressed, Cody. I'm depressed. I have nothing to go. Like I follow all these teams in hopes that one of them is going to be awesome, and you would think the odds would be in my favor, but that is just not the case.
Hey, you know, one of the tweets that traditionally annually pisses me off to no end is right when Wyoming punts for the first time in the season, you get the is it basketball season yet tweet.
Yeah.
And that usually really pisses me off, but hey, Wyoming Cowboys are 3-0 right now in basketball, so you know, that's a fun team to watch, and it's been really a breath of fresh air in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I really hope it works with Sundance Wicks. 3-0 to start the season. You know, you can't ask for much better than that. What do you make of this team so far, or have you jumped full on in to the basketball side of things yet, Cody?
Definitely not full on in. I mean, this is that really hard time of the year for every sports writer who covers both. It's the overlap is incredible. You're shifting gears constantly, but I tell you what, I mean, the last couple of years haven't been enjoyable. They haven't been fun to watch. They haven't been entertaining. It's been,
yeah.
I don't mind telling you right now that living in Cheyenne, I'll be like, oh man, there's a snowflake in the forecast. I better not risk driving over to Laramie to watch them play Austin Peay.
Yeah.
And now it's like, man, I can't wait to get over there and see what this looks like.
Hey, at least your name, I mean, Austin Peay, you know, that's an interesting, obviously an interesting name. But it was, do they have a player Our buddy Go Pokes was texting me last night, and he's like, they got a player with one arm. And I'm just like, that's freaking miraculous, though, that you could play. I don't care how good or bad the team is. That's pretty awesome.
No doubt. The kid played his ass off, too. I don't mind telling you that.
Yeah,
his name's Hansel Emmanuel. And, yeah, he doesn't have a left arm, I believe. And I kind of thought, man, my glasses are really jacked up from my seat in the press box last night. It looks like that kid doesn't have an arm. And Googled it and looked on ESPN, and yeah, tragic accident when he was like 6 or 8 years old.
Mm.
And man, what a story. What a competitor. What a kid, man. That was really cool to see.
Yeah, a great story for sure.
He played 13 minutes last night, and he blocked an alley-oop at the end, and, you know, he blocked it right into the crowd. So, really cool to see that.
Yeah, no, that is cool. And it's cool to see, you know, Wyoming at least getting off to a nice start here, 3-0. You know, you never know what to make of these early games, these early season games, but you'd certainly make a lot of them if they were 0-3 right now.
Yeah.
So you got to take the good with the bad. Yeah.
That's how they'll be out there feeling today.
No question. Or Boise State losing to a team you can't even click on ESPN,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, love to. They're selling the shirts that's calling themselves the Strip Mall Sharks. I really, really want one for when DJ Rains and Boise State come to Laramie.
Hey, be careful with Boise State. They're trainers. If you get a player that gets hurt, their trainers are going to rip them off the floor, man. They don't care. They're dragging you all over.
That's true. That's true.
Cody, appreciate it, man. And, hey, what do you think? What do you think about Wyoming this weekend on the football side? Do they take care of business?
Well, you already answered it, man. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to just say that, but I have no idea. I think I picked them yesterday on the podcast. I can't even remember what score I thought, but it's so weird. You really, truly have no idea.
I know. I you know what? I'm just thankful with my picks. I mix it in with the six here. I throw the Broncos in there. We're over 500 against the spread, Cody. So I don't know how. I don't know. I think I've closed my eyes most of the time, and I just wish, and it works. So the fact that we're sitting there is okay. I have this terrible feeling it's all going to go south pretty soon, though.
I love it. I'm not making the trip to Fresno this week. I decided, we had a family death, but anyway, I'm not making the trip, but any of your listeners out there that happen to have Avalanche Sabres tickets for tomorrow night in Denver, I'll tell you and lie to your face that I'm an Avalanche fan, and I'm very interested in your tickets.
I would have known before, we have an affiliation with the Avs and the Nuggets here, so maybe I could have, but it's too late now, Cody. It's too late now.
Well, man. You shouldn't even have freaking told me that.
Next time around. All right.
Sounds good, brother. Thanks for having me on, as always.
All right, man. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com, man. Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you next week. Yeah, that's where we are. I'm the most intriguing game this weekend is probably what's the story? You know, is it Wyoming? Last week we said it was UNC who has the most to play for. Is it Wyoming now?
Yes.
Really? You just saying that because Cody was on?
No, I don't. UNC has two games to play for. They just have to win, I think, one of them
to get to that four
to make it a truly successful season.
Yeah.
CU, no. If anyone watches,
it's for the quarterback. You're just watching to see the growth of the quarterback.
Yeah. CSU, they're going to tear the whole thing down.
Least interested. I'm the least interested in that, and that's one of my. I'm not a beat guy, but I definitely do more CSU stuff probably. Yeah, that's a mix. I probably hit, when it comes to basketball season, I'm probably right down the middle between UNC and CSU. But I'm telling you, the interest level is 12:41 the time. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The lights have been a lot brighter these days for the Denver Nuggets. 8-2 on the season. Again, it was a fine season last year. We just know how it ended. The season didn't even end with you moving on from your head coach and your general manager. Have we even taken time to talk about David Adelman? David Adelman, who I think was going to be a candidate for a lot of coaching jobs, whether it was this last offseason or, it was going to be just a matter of time. But the Nuggets, named him the interim coach with three games remaining in the regular season last year, and this team won a playoff series that nobody thought they were going to win. They pushed OKC, the eventual champs, to seven games. And you thought, okay, was this just a team that, it's Aaron Gordon's hurt, he shouldn't be playing. Michael Porter Jr.'s hurt, he shouldn't be playing. Apparently Russell Westbrook's hurt, he shouldn't be playing. Is this a team that's just, we're going all in? We're leaving it all out on the field or the court. And we're going to just pour every ounce of basketball we have into this last stretch of playoffs before everything gets broken up. And so far through 10 games, the answer is no, that was not the case. They just needed depth. They just needed more guys. And this year, rather than saying we're hoping Julian Strother can get going, we're hoping Peyton Watson can get going, you don't have to. Like last night, Peyton Watson played 18 minutes. They had 0 points. He's done a lot of good things this year, but it doesn't matter. You don't look at that and go, well, crap, he's not growing, because you are deep. You don't depend on Peyton Watson. You don't depend on Julian Strother anymore, who had 3 minutes. He can't hurt you anymore. you got Brucey Bruce back, 27 minutes for him. playing good defense, rebounding, not always lighting it up on the scoreboard, but he's doing all the little things. Tim Hardaway Jr. has been a find for the Broncos, for the Nuggets. And then Jonas Valanciunas, excellent. And I don't care if Cameron Johnson scores 0 points, 5 points, 20 points, 30 points, 40 points. The Nuggets absolutely won that trade. They win again big, 122-108. David Adelman is the man responsible for keeping this core group together, dispersing those minutes and finding, pressing all the right buttons. And so far, for the first 10 games, he has handled that brilliantly. All right, coming up in the next hour, we got buy or sell. We got Sean Keeler from the Denver Post, an interesting factoid on the Avalanche. We kind of knew it, but how bad is it? And is that a worry that it could get worse? Broncos preparing for one of the biggest games they've had since Super Bowl 50. We'll get to that. Also, what did we learn? It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
For Nuggets, games, and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Over at Big City Roadhouse. Just got this update. Got to tell you guys about it. They just added two brand new 86-inch TVs above their bar yesterday. Great for watching your favorite sports teams. So they got more TVs in there, more opportunities for you to watch your favorite teams. They have their weekday specials, too, that they just got going. What's today, Mike? Is it Wednesday? They got their Roadhouse Fettuccine Tomato Pesto Parmesan Chili Flakes. You can add chicken. You can add shrimp to that. It looks really freaking good. Thursdays, they do their all-you-can-eat soup and salad served with garlic bread. And then Fridays, hand-breaded potato-crusted cod, fries, coleslaw, and green chili tartar sauce. Man, everything. Dude, I'm looking at the breakfast burrito pictures right now. Bacon or chorizo, available every day, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Stop by Big City Roadhouse right now. That's perfect for lunch. Buy or sell, coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.